In Yemen, a Saudi coalition air raid has killed scores at a wedding party, many women and children among them who were killed. Meanwhile, Yemen's Ansar al-Fighters deputy leader was killed in a Saudi airstrike. In this debate, we're going to cover how these developments will affect the war and whether there is a political solution on the horizon, something in which the new UN envoy indicated would be coming in a couple of months. Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, we have Kevin Barrett, author and Middle East expert, who joins us from Madison. And also we have Jihad Morakade. He's a political commentator and Middle East expert who joins us from Beirut. I'd like to welcome you both. And Jihad Morakade, let me first start with you. You have what has happened in the past hour or so. This is a pinpoint, it appears, of what is now described as a targeted assassination in which the Yemen's Ansar movement confirming the killing of its deputy leader in a Saudi airstrike. It's almost the second in command here. What is your reaction to this particular piece of news?
This was last Thursday. I wonder why it took them so long to confirm it. But it's interesting also, it happened in the Hodeidah area immediately after he had a meeting with local leaders in Hodeidah trying to beef up support for the Houthis. And apparently he came empty-handed. I don't know about the six people who were with him, whether they were senior military advisors or just bodyguards. For now, the only information we have is information coming from the Houthis, from Houthi sources. So it's good or it's bad? It is bad for the Houthis, certainly, and it's bad for their war effort, because Mr. Samad was a very charismatic figure, and he had a huge support amongst the military effort or the military militia of the Houthis. Well, it's not, but the Houthis have been going down the drain for quite some time now, ever since the assassination of Ali Abdullah Saleh.
Well, you wouldn't think that with some of the targets that they have actually gone after. But before anything, let's bring in our correspondent, Mohammed Al-Attab, who joins us from Yemen's capital, Sana'a, to get an update about the situation there based on this most recent development. So, Mohammed Al-Attab, we have this particular assassination that has taken place. Tell us how that news is being received and what we can expect out of it.
Yes, such news has shocked many people here in Yemen, as Salah Samad, the head of the Supreme Political Council, has achieved many things that Yemenis were looking for. He was killed during his visit to Al Hudaydah, as when we went through the road, which was bombarded by Saudi air strikes. It was also maintained, and he's also carrying out many achievements in order to regain the people's trust of the government, and also its capability to stand fast against the Saudi aggression, which continues into the fourth year. Such news also has been described by the Ansar Allah leader Abdulmalik al-Houthi, who described the incident as a shock to the nation. He also said that this incident wouldn't also undermine the retaliatory attacks against the Saudi Arabia, and he also warned Saudi Arabia and the United States of America, which is blamed the United States for what is going on in his country. He said they should hold the responsibility of killing a senior official who represents the Yemeni government. He is not a military figure. So far, these kinds of assassinations would not at any wouldn't also undermine the Yemenis' resistance against Saudi Arabia. And also, some political analysts say that this is an indication of the Saudi Arabia's failure to achieve its military goals in Yemen, especially after the launch of ballistic missiles on different vital targets in Saudi Arabia. Also, what happened earlier night on Monday when Saudi fighter jets targeted a wedding there, it's also Yemenis without any exception are being killed by Saudi Arabia's fighter jets. This is also sends us a strong message to the world that Saudi Arabia is really committing a war crime against the whole
right.
Yemenis without any exception.
Thank you for that. Mohammed Al-Tab, of course, monitor from Sana'a. Let's bring in Kevin Barrett here. Kevin Barrett, I'd like to zoom in as a first question to you about what has happened regarding this wedding, of which officially seems like it's about 32 or 33 people to have been killed, but spoke to somebody earlier that said maybe up to 50 people were killed. Many of them were women and children. The UN has come out also in reaction saying that we need to do an investigation as to what happened. This is not the first time that this incident of this nature or this type has happened. What is your reaction to this piece of news?
Well, the Saudi government has joined the Israeli government as the biggest terrorist state on earth per capita. Of course, the United States holds that title in terms of absolute terrorism. But here we see that whether or not the Saudis are intentionally targeting wedding parties and murdering dozens of people at weddings, or whether it's simply because the Saudi pilots, if they have any pilots, traditionally they've had to hire mercenaries from other countries to run their armed forces, but if they have any pilots, the Saudis are the most notoriously cowardly fighters in the world, and they have to fly at extremely high altitudes because they're afraid of being shot down. They're not willing to risk their lives. They're spoiled playboys. But in any case, it's absolutely disgusting. The Saudis should be ashamed of themselves. They are simply spreading mayhem in Yemen to try to cover up their catastrophic failure of their war. When they went to the Obama administration for approval of their plan to attack Yemen, they promised the Obama administration it would be over within 2 weeks. That was a solemn promise. The idiots in the Obama administration went ahead and rubber stamped this move by their proxy on the Arabian Peninsula. And now it's been 4 years, and unfortunately, we've got a vastly worse administration in power here in the United States that's cozying up to the very worst of the Middle Eastern leadership, led by this drug addict, bin Salman, who is said to be addicted to designer amphetamines, who psychotically imagines, he dreams of huge futuristic cities peopled by female robots in bikinis, the NEOM plan, because apparently his drugs are having a bad effect on him. And now he's ordering his military forces to slaughter the people of Yemen and to kill the political leadership, not military forces, but to murder the political leaders in Yemen that would be the people to negotiate with if you were willing to settle and have any kind of peace settlement. So apparently, he's willing to just blow everything up here. The only way he could ever get out of Yemen would be to do the same thing he's done regarding the kidnapping of Hariri, the attack on Qatar, and admit that it was a failure. Uh-huh. But apparently he would rather murder every single human being in Yemen rather than admit failure.
What signal, John Mercado, does this send from Saudi Arabia to have killed this high-ranking official from Yemen's Ansarullah movements? At this point, I think it would be a given that they do not want this war to end, because as a consequence, I'm sure they calculate that there's going to be a response coming.
I don't know how I can qualify Mr. Barrett's statements, but it reflects on him. This being said, first of all, you cannot talk about a targeted attack against a wedding. I mean, nobody in his right mind is going to target a wedding to prove what. So obviously it is a mistake, and it was certainly not to assassinate any Houthi figure who was at the wedding. They're not going to target a whole wedding and get the bad press over it just to assassinate a single Houthi figure who probably was hiding inside the wedding. Now, with regards to the leadership or the assassination
hiding
of the leadership.
Hiding inside the wedding?
It's a joke. I mean, it is the Houthis who assassinate. Sorry?
Go ahead.
You said a Houthi was hiding inside the wedding?
I'm sorry, I didn't. Okay. No, I said, just in case this was the idea, it is a stupid idea that wouldn't do it. So what I'm trying to say here is that it is not appropriate to say that liquidating or assassinating political opponents, particularly in the case of a war, is not acceptable, while the Houthis themselves have assassinated Ali Abdullah Saleh, who was their ally, not their enemy. So if the Houthis can get away with assassinating their own ally for the last 4 years, your crocodile tears about Mr. Saleh Samad are not welcome. Second, we are in situation of war, and this is where I would like to bounce on. In the situation of war, there is one culprit, which is the Houthis. The Houthis have taken over the legitimate government, and it is the legitimate government of Yemen which is fighting the Houthis, not Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is helping the legitimate army on the ground. There is no Saudi army on the ground in Yemen. It is the Yemeni army fighting the Houthis, being helped by Saudi Air Force. So let's get matters right. And for your information, the plans of the UN security of the UN special envoy is to get the Houthis to execute resolution 2216, which calls for them to remit their arms and their heavy weapons and withdraw from all government buildings in Sana'a. This is the plan, and nothing outside this plan will work, and it is a UN resolution, security resolution, and nothing else is going to work. They either accept it or they die.
Okay, I'm going to come back to you at that one, but I'd like to get to you with this one, Kevin Barrett. You know, if we look at the way that this assassination took place, I'm wondering how it is that if the U.S., which by all means has come out and said, like Mitch McConnell, saying that the U.S. intelligence provides the Saudis greater precision in their air campaign to result in fewer civilian casualties, even saying that withdrawing U.S. support would increase, not decrease, the risk of civilian casualties. And you have a wedding party that has killed maybe up to 50 people, not the first time, but yet you have a precision airstrike that kills a senior figure of the Ansarullah movement. So why does that happen? I mean, it sounds to me like this intelligence by the U.S. is being directed. I mean, it doesn't make sense when it comes to the wedding party.
Well, the U.S. is a specialist in mass murdering people at wedding parties. This has been happening with some regularity in Afghanistan and Pakistan and elsewhere, to the point that the Pakistani government has basically tried to ban the United States from its territory, and there's a big fight there. But obviously, whatever help the U.S. is giving the Saudis has nothing to do with humanitarian objectives. It has to do with, as Mr. Jihad said, killing everybody in Yemen if they won't surrender to Saudi occupation. That's what this is. What he calls the so-called legitimate government is the Saudi puppet government. The Saudis wanted to take over Yemen. They want to run a pipeline through Yemen, and they want the strategic parts of Yemen that will help them in their geostrategic struggles with Iran. And of course, the Saudis have a huge internal political problem. That was the subject of a terrific article in today's New York Times by a leading Saudi historian, which pointed out that the reason the Saudis are following these insane policies of blockading and declaring war on Qatar, kidnapping the Prime Minister of Lebanon, and committing genocide in Yemen has really very little to do with any actual threat from anybody, least of all Iran. What it really has to do with is the precariousness of the Saudi royal family's situation politically at home. They're doing this for domestic political consumption, to try to rally support for a kind of a hardline nationalist replacement to the Wahhabi extremist Islam that they're now giving up, because as the crown prince admitted, that was done under orders from the United States. It was the United States which told the Saudis to create the wave of Wahhabi inspired terrorism that afflicted the whole world and provided the United States with so many mercenaries for its fights around the world. So the Saudis are now in disarray. Their economy is has been shattered by the low oil prices that they were ordered to push down through the floor by the United States plunge protection team. They're going broke, and they're about to have a revolution. That ruling family that usurped the Arabian Peninsula is going to be overthrown, and they're desperately trying to cling to power by picking fights, and they're committing genocide in Yemen, trying to take over Yemen for that reason, as the New York Times article pointed out.
Jed, we're going to talk about that article too. I have some pointers that I'd like to ask. But Jed Mercati, you talked about how the Ansarullah fighters and their actions, they're not proving to be somewhat effective at all, that they're losing this war. But it seems the recent timeline of, let's say, between 2 to 4 months has proven that they have increased their attacks. For example, targeting Aramco facilities on a few occasions. Today, one of those incidents. Also, the capital Riyadh and the airport. These are increasing. Do you think that they're holding out, and that now, especially with this senior figure to have been assassinated, that they're going to keep on increasing their actions and the firing of their missiles?
No. We should be clear about one thing. I'm talking about the war in Yemen. I'm not talking about the reactions of some of the Houthis had by outside forces, particularly Hezbollah, to throw rockets at Saudi Arabia. This is not the issue. That doesn't mean that they're winning anything. It means rather they are desperate. It is underground in Yemen that I'm talking about. In Hodeidah, the forces of the nephew of Ali Abdullah Saleh are about to take over Hodeidah. In the north, they are about to take over the province of the Houthis, which is Saada, which is being attacked. In the center, Taiz is being attacked and is being run over by the forces loyal to Abdurrabbu Mansur Hadi. So yes, they are losing ground. They have lots of support of ex-supporters of Ali Abdullah Saleh. They have lost any support all over Yemen except for themselves. If they lose Hodeidah, they are done, believe me. And the reason the 2 months for the UN special envoy, the 2 months period, is to give time for them to, for the local loyal forces to take over Hodeidah with the help of the nephew of Ali Abdullah Saleh, who is on the doors of Hodeidah. And in fact, the incident with Saleh Samad today shows that he was in Hodeidah trying to gather support for his troop and for his troops, and he did not get it. So these people are indeed desperate, and they are losing. Never mind a few rockets that they throw here and there. With regards to the targeting, I'm sure it was American targeting and not Saudi targeting. It is pretty much in the American habit to target individuals in cars and so on and so forth. And it is certainly beyond Saudi intelligence to be able to achieve such precise targeting of Mr. Samad.
So based on that statement there, Kevin Barrett, the U.S. is fully immersed in this war.
Undoubtedly. Yeah, as I said, the Obama administration actually was not at all enthusiastic. They were dragged into this by their Saudi puppets to the eternal discredit of President Obama. But the Trump administration has gone all in with bin Salman and Netanyahu and their insane schemes for trying to take over the Middle East. And so the U.S. now is very much committed to the Saudi side in this genocidal war on Yemen, which has been essentially Saudi Arabia's Vietnam. And again, Saudi Arabia is a very unstable country in terms of its ability to continue as the personal property of a family of billionaire sybaritic playboys who put all their money into casinos and brothels all over the world and prop up the Rothschild petrodollar in order to keep exploiting their people and draining the resources of the Middle East. So they're desperate to try to find a way to give their people a PR story about why their people should support them. So they've whipped up all of this sectarian hysteria, this Shia phobia, Iranophobia, and they've created this enemy in Yemen, a bunch of really, it's the poorest country in the region. And yet they can't even defeat these people after 4 years. And the people of Yemen are not going to forgive the ruling family of Ibn Saud for this over decades. This genocide
which
is going
people,
to be remembered
of
regardless of
which
what the particular
of,
military or negotiated outcome happens to be.
Which people of Yemen?
And it's, in fact, all the people of Yemen and all the people of the region are waking up and recognizing that this evil family of Bedouin bandits that made their living by robbing caravans to Mecca, robbing pilgrims, and has been working with the Zionists over decades and is now admitting it, that these people don't belong in the Arabian Peninsula. They're going to have to find exile in some place like Paraguay before long.
Who is fighting the Houthis?
Let me give John McCarter 30 seconds.
How about the Yemeni army? How about the Yemeni army? Excuse me. How about the Yemeni army? The Yemeni army, which is fighting the Houthis, who do you think they thank? They thank Saudi Arabia for its support.
Very well.
Because they are Yemenis and they are fighting for their own countries against rebels. So the people in Yemen are the Saudi.
Anyone who thanks Saudi Arabia for anything
Kevin Barrett,
is either evil
30
or
seconds,
out of their
Kevin
mind.
Barrett.
Yeah, obviously the Saudis have enough money to buy every corrupt person on earth that they want, pretty much. And they've bought plenty of people in Yemen. They've bought plenty of people in Lebanon, like you, sir.
They
own, the people have sold their souls to these inhuman monsters, and you're one of them, sir. I hate to make it personal, but I'm sick of people. Here in the United States, there are so many mosques that are funded by these monsters in Riyadh, and I'm sick of them buying the souls of people all over the world so they can commit their genocide, so they can destroy Islam, so they can make their alliance with the genocidal Zionists to finish off the genocide of Palestine as well as the genocide of Yemen. I'm really tired of it, and I'm sorry if I've gone off on you.
Kevin,
but,
come back
we are fresh out of time.
I'd
like to thank you
come
both.
Come back to Yemen. Are you trying to tell me that all
John
of Marcotta, the Yemeni
I'm sorry.
Army
we're fresh out of time. Let me thank our guest, Kevin Barrett, author and Middle East expert from Madison. John Marcotta, thank you, political commentator and Middle East expert from Beirut. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitale, entire team in the capital of Tehran, is goodbye.